Play it again, Sue. In our own strength, we women tend to have minds like old LP records that are scratched. We take our husband's faults and replay them in our thoughts over and over again. He's insensitive, he's insensitive, he's insensitive, he's insensitive. We get worked up over the smallest offense until our agitation sours into bitterness. He will forget to feed the dog 3 days in a row. We will look at the empty dog bowl and attribute all kinds of evil motives to him. He will leave us waiting in the car for an extra 10 minutes, and we convince ourselves that his lack of consideration is just the tip of the cold iceberg of his heart. Since we are Christian ladies, and the kids are watching, we don't rant and rave, we just give him the stone-cold silent treatment. He must know how much he hurts us, and the best way to retaliate is to hurt him back by depriving him of what he wants most, respect, honor, and love. We know that this will get his attention, and he will eventually have to come humbly asking what is wrong. By then, our miserable countenance should have softened him up for a good case of repentance. Boy, will we make him sorry. But we fully expect that he will try to make up for the birthday he forgot by buying the same kind of candy we told him we hate, and then we hate him all the more for not remembering that we hate that kind of candy. Practice. We are always practicing those thoughts. Remember the 40,000 thoughts a day? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. How many thousands of negative thoughts are you thinking in the course of 3 or 4 hours? It is your duty before God to think differently. God tells you how to think. When the emotions will not freely allow us to think what we ought, our will can command our muscles to actions, and the thoughts will follow. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Proverbs 16:3. Remember the passage in 2 Corinthians 10:5? Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. In the many letters I receive from women who describe the many offenses of their husbands, 90% of the offenses are nothing more than the wife's imaginative response to something that could easily have been overlooked. The difference between a good marriage and a lousy one is not found in good husbands and good wives versus bad husbands and bad wives, for all marriages are made up of two sinners with lots of faults. A good marriage is good because one or both of them have learned to overlook the other's faults, to love the other as he or she is, and to not attempt to change the other or bring him or her to repentance. A bad marriage is not one that contains more faults between the two of them. It is a marriage where one or both of them gets worked up over issues that good marriage partners let slide and cover up with love and forgiveness. When a woman gets it in her mind that she must change her husband before she will allow him to relax in the security of her honor and respect, she will never see so much as the bottom side of a good marriage, except when she is kissing hers goodbye.